Hello, I'm Lina Ahmadou. Welcome to Health Chat. On the program today, we will look at how countries worldwide are stepping up efforts to contain the Mpox outbreak. But first, malaria remains a major threat in Africa, with millions of cases and thousands of deaths recorded globally. The disease heavily impacts low-income African countries, worsening poverty and health challenges. Hence, the killer disease was among key issues discussed at the 74th session of the WHO Regional Committee meeting. Reporter Eric Kawa has more from Brazzaville, Congo.
In 2022, the World Health Organization reported 249 million malaria cases with over 600,000 deaths annually. In Africa, the disease continues to be a major killer. Fatmata Kamara is a mother from Sierra Leone and tells VOA the mosquito-borne disease makes it harder for her family.
It's not really easy. Malaria, they really want to win. That's a challenge they're facing. The transportation is expensive now. Then at times, so they go to the hospital, pass and kiss for admit, and where they admit, na money and they go. And the drugs then too dear.
Fatmata says she's not able to work as a trader for days when she has a malaria attack. But she says they still try to prevent mosquito bites.
Seeing them all, they use the tents. They use the tents. And they use mosquito quail at the barn. Then the shell talks at the barn. So at the pin and then, so they prevent the malaria. It's like the free health care where God make they don't carry it in a saloon for we the comrade. A day, maybe I can go it and it's good time for me. But if not me now, I thank God. I buy drugs then. I pin and a push.
According to the RBM partnership to end malaria, the disease is hampering Africa's progress and that getting back on track to meet malaria goals will raise the continent's gross domestic product by US$127 billion. The partnership's chief executive officer, Dr. Michael Charles, tells VOA malaria is an unacceptable injustice.
We say that malaria causes poverty, poverty causes malaria, so it's a vicious circle. If we go back to, you know, the basics, you know, who's more affected? It's children. You know, children are not able to thrive because of malaria. Once a child gets malaria, sometimes it affects the brain cells and, you know, the development of the human being is also reduced. So we've really seen the injustice. And if we also look at pregnant women, we lose 10,000 pregnant women every year because of malaria. And we also have children that are born with low birth weight and really have little chance of survival.
On the sidelines of the recent World Health Organization's Africa Regional Committee meeting in Brazzaville, Republic of Congo, Dr. Charles called for urgent action and increased funding to combat the disease. He says an estimated US$1.5 billion shortfall in malaria funding hinders efforts and underscores the importance of maintaining the focus on malaria even as other health threats such as monkeypox emerge.
It's not a health systems fight alone. It's every single one of us, and we always say zero malaria starts with me, zero malaria starts with you, zero malaria starts with everybody. We need to bring all our efforts together. We need to strengthen the partnership. We need to look at the intersectionality. How does it link with climate change? How does it link with conflict? How does it link with gender? How does it link with development?
This year, the WHO declared Cabo Verde malaria-free, making it the third African nation after Algeria and Mauritius to hit that milestone. So, Charles and other experts at the WHO meeting say the battle for a malaria-free continent continues. For VOA Africa, I'm Eric Kawa reporting from the 74th session of the WHO Regional Committee in Brazzaville, Congo.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says drowning is the third leading cause of unintentional injury death worldwide, claiming an estimated 236,000 lives each year. Over 90% of drowning deaths occur in low- and middle-income countries, with children under the age of 5 at highest risk. Drowning death rates in the African region are estimated to be the highest in the world. Let's go to Nigeria, where maritime experts say there needs to be more focus on preventing boat mishap and improving safety along inland waterways. Mike Mbonye reports from Lagos.
Drowning is a major cause of accidental death in African nations, with the World Health Organization estimating nearly 40,000 people on the continent dying each year from drowning. It is the third leading cause of accidental death on the continent, WHO says. About 75% of the victims are children. A major risk area is in shipping and water transportation. The International Maritime Organization is a United Nations agency responsible for maritime safety and protecting the maritime environment. The IMO has set up model safety regulations for inland waterways vessels operating in Africa to address the high rate of accidents involving passenger carriers. Each day, thousands of people in Africa cross rivers and lakes using vessels that often are in poor condition and overloaded. In Nigeria, riverboat accidents are common and kill scores of Nigerians each year. At least 16 people died in mid-August when their boat capsized in Sokoto State. Emmanuel Benjamin is a Lagos-based seafarer.
Basically, the causes of drowning, it's when you have too much, or let's say overloading of passengers. That's more than the capacity of your boat can carry for a particular trip, which can actually lead to capsizing of the boat in the midstream or when you're traveling.
The National Inland Waterways Authority, NIWA, is responsible for improving and developing Nigeria's inland waterways for navigation. Suleiman Makama is the authority's Assistant General Manager for Corporate Affairs.
Boat mishaps are mainly as a result of mechanical and human natural factors such as overloading, careless driving, overspeeding, negligence, turbulent weather, wreckages, use of wooden boat, tree stumps, snags, and night sailing. Other factors are untrained boat drivers and flagrant disregard of safety regulations, most especially sailing on night and lack of usage of life jackets.
Makama says it is compulsory for every passenger to have a life jacket provided by the boat captain. Makama says the authority has introduced the Inland Waterways Transportation Code to regulate transportation, especially passenger services, loading and unloading operations, safety of navigation, ship waste management, search and rescue operations, and firefighting on vessels.
NIWA has commenced the training and certification of boat drivers nationwide with a view of ensuring professionalism, regular safety awareness, and sensitization campaigns across the country. This is in addition to regular security and compliance patrols on the waterways by the team of NIWA police and mariners.
Kolapo Olufemi is a marine captain and retired naval officer. He says one way of ensuring water safety is to enforce all laws on water transportation.
We need a regulatory body that will be fair. Like in Nigeria, we have NIMASA. Under NIMASA, we have NEWA. NEWA are for inland waterways. They are to regulate some regulations. Worldwide, international is IMO. So if you are not regulating all these things, people will not comply. First thing is to get the knowledge. Second thing is to be educated about marine transport and safety. So if the regulator cannot employ them or force them to obey all these regulations, definitely they'll be missing. So all we need now is give people orientation. When you give them orientation about safety, train them. When you train them, then the regulator should be upright to sanction whoever violates the law.
Olufemi recommends that seafarers be trained in basics such as firefighting, medical emergencies, personal survival techniques, and social responsibility. This is Mike Mbonye for VOA News in Lagos.
Turning now to polio, 1 in 200 polio infections leads to irreversible paralysis. According to the WHO Africa, among those paralyzed, about 5 to 10% die once their muscles become immobilized. World Health Organization Regional Director for Africa, Matshidiso Moeti, says cross-border coordination, vaccinating children, and leveraging technology are key to success against polio. Maureen Ojambo reports.
There were at least 204 polio variants detected in 21 African countries this year. The World Health Organization African region says since August of 2022, there has been no new type 1 polio cases detected on the continent. Ashidiso Moeti is the regional director for WHO Africa. She says member states should address the ongoing threat of polio in the region.
In May this year, the transmission of wild poliovirus type 1 imported into Malawi and Mozambique was halted. Africa did what it does best. We united, we mobilized and responded with strength and determination using our well-known tools, robust surveillance, quality vaccination campaigns, and increased community engagement, of course, with the strong support of our partners.
Moeti says the fight against polio is faced by threats, among them insecurity, the displacement of people and food insecurity, intensified by demographic pressures and climate change.
The ongoing international spread of polio, most recently to Gaza, is a stark reminder that polio still continues, constitutes a public health emergency of international concern. The road to zero polio in Africa now requires focused action on variant poliovirus outbreaks. This battle continues, particularly in the Lake Chad Basin, the Sahel, and Eastern Africa, where we've seen persistent transmission of the variant poliovirus. Our work to end all forms of polio continues as we navigate a complex landscape of interconnected threats.
Despite the milestones achieved, the Lake Chad Basin countries and Sahel regions are still facing challenges in fighting the virus. The coordinator of the polio eradication program in the African region, Jamal Ahmed, says the main agenda is to get under control the type 2 polio that is predominantly in the region.
We have another virus that is going around. It's heavily centered in DRC and other places. We are a variant polio virus type 1. And if I look at the last 12 months where we have been, the number of cases in the last 6 months are 86% less than they were in the preceding 6 months. We have reduced the number of cases by 79%. We have environmental surveillance. The number of detections have come down by 99%. This is thanks to three countries, primarily Mozambique, Malawi, and Madagascar.
Over 60 million children in Africa were vaccinated against the type 2 polio variant. Ahmed says among the continent's challenges in the fight are vaccine supply and shortages. He says cross-border coordination is key to ensure no child misses out on the vaccine.
Where you see polio in Africa is where we have systems that are not working somehow. When we see an outbreak of polio or many of our other VPD diseases, it means that something has not worked in our routine immunization program, in our broad health systems. So it's really a program about reaching those tough areas, those communities that we don't reach.
It is estimated that at least 168,000 cases of polio occur in Africa each year. Children under the age of 5 are the most affected by polio globally. WHO Africa calls on the global health community to rally and eradicate polio and urges member states to speed up the response to outbreaks. For VOA Africa, I am Maureen Ojiambo in San Francisco.
Health officials in Western Equatorial State say residents of Mvolo County are at risk of dying because some health centers in the area have no qualified doctors. Residents say pregnant women and children are allegedly at risk. Mattia Samuel Timatio files for VOA from Yambio.
World Health Organization data shows that South Sudan has a doctor-to-patient population of 65,000. Some experts in South Sudan say this figure is well below the minimum threshold recommended by the World Health Organization. Western Equatorial State Minister of Health, James Abdallah, says Mvolo County does not have enough health workers. Abdallah says patients walk several miles to get access to health care.
The absence of the doctor from the county hospital is a threat because that center, before it could be approved, before it could be constructed and supported by CMB, those people who are staying there are getting their health service from Mopodi, which is 27 miles from Mvolo.
According to WHO, South Sudan's healthcare system is in dire need of more workers, especially physicians. The country has only one medical school at the University of Juba College of Medicine, and there are no trained surgeons outside of the capital city. Mvolo County resident Lois Samuel says pregnant women and children often face huge obstacles accessing health care, adding that children sometimes die before reaching the hospital.
Children are dying when they are being referred to Lui Hospital. They die on the way. Even the drugs are not enough which can help our children. Sometimes the child lacks blood, but there are no doctors. The roads are very poor to transfer them to other hospitals. We are really suffering, especially now that we have no doctors in the area.
Ruben Amara, Mvolo County Health Director, is calling on the state and the national ministries of health to dispatch doctors who can treat residents of Mvolo County.
This is the only thing that will help us out of situation.
It is the only thing which will take us out of this situation. As we speak right now, last week we lost a baby who was supposed to go through the cesarean section. Due to lack of personnel who are not on ground, a lack of mobility to be rushed to a nearby hospital.
Jacob Abshok, another resident of Mvolo County, says there are no qualified doctors in the area. He says the government should intervene to address the health challenges in villages across the county.
Our people are really suffering when someone falls sick. There is nowhere to be taken to. The number of health workers in Mvolo is limited. There is lack of doctors in the area. The government should employ qualified doctors to come and work here in Mvolo, and they should be paid well in order for them to work.
The World Bank says most South Sudanese lack access to essential health services, safe water, and sanitation. The group adds that one in every 10 children dies before they turn 5, adding that the country has the highest child-to-mother mortality rate in the world. For VOA News, I am Matthias Samuel Timatio, reporting from Western Equatoria State's capital, Yambio.
You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. We turn now to MPOX. Scientists studying the new MPOX strain that has spread out of the DRC say the virus is changing faster than expected. A new strain of the virus known as Clade 1B has the world's attention again after the WHO declared a new health emergency. The strain is a mutated version of Clade 1, a form of MPOX spread by contact with infected animals that has been endemic in Congo for decades. Experts say there are numerous unknowns about the virus itself, its severity, and how it is transmitting, complicating the response. Now, children in the DRC are at risk of being infected with MPOX as the variant spreads through some camps, refugee camps, that is. Since last September, cases have surged in the DRC due to a strain of the virus, and the disease is spreading in countries nearby. Here is more with Vincent Makori.
Justine Mungweko could not recall the name of the disease she had been warned about. She just knew her baby was suffering when sores appeared on its feet and hands like other children at the displacement camp near the eastern Congolese city of Goma. Communities like Mungweko's are among the most exposed and in need of support. She and other mothers at the camp decided to treat their children a traditional way for dealing with fevers and rashes, washing them in boiled salty water and rubbing their skin with the soft leaves of kitamatama plant.
This skin lesion disease comes from I don't know where. I can't even remember the name of the disease. We were told that it comes after eating game, but neither I nor my child have eaten game. These symptoms just appeared.
As the international community scrambles to source enough vaccines, Mungoiko's experience highlights the amount of work that needs to be done to make sure the most vulnerable in Congo and elsewhere have the right knowledge and resources to protect themselves from the viral infection that is usually mild but can kill. Communicating with people about what they should do is critical.
We need to get the right information out to the people who are immediately at risk, as well as those who are likely to panic. Communicating with people about what they should do, what they should report, and how they should report so we can understand what's going on quicker and contain it better is critical. But long term, so that we don't have the same conversation again next year, the year after year, we need to ask ourselves, how do we define public health emergencies of international concern? When do we define them of international concern?
There have been around 27,000 cases and more than 1,100 deaths, mainly among children in Congo, since the current outbreak began in January 2023. The virus has also spread to nearby countries. At Kinyarushina camp on Monday, residents gathered in an open area between the rows of tents to hear a health worker from aid organization MedAir explain how to avoid infection. They received a colorful leaflet with pictures showing the risk of close contact with infected animals or people. The challenge in Congo and other African countries is compounded by a lack of funding for research.
The first time Mpox was identified in countries was, in fact, in Central and West Africa in the 1970s. So 50 years on, there has been a shameful lack of investment to support researchers in African countries to really understand Mpox better. We still globally do not have a good understanding of Mpox on the outbreaks, how it spreads, how many asymptomatic cases do we have for every case that we find with symptoms. We do not have a good understanding.
To effectively protect against Mpox, the WHO has initiated an emergency use listing procedure, EUL, to help countries with regulatory reviews of Mpox vaccines. It also enables UNICEF as well as Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, to quickly procure vaccines, speeding up the process of getting safe and effective vaccines into the right hands. Vincent Macori, VOA News.
The race is on to get Mpox vaccines to countries who need it. Juma Majanga reports on the challenges and opportunities in the fight against Mpox.
Professor Salim Abdul Karim, a virologist at the Nelson Mandela School of Medicine in Durban, South Africa, says there are currently three types of vaccines for Mpox, but they are hard to obtain.
They aren't available. And if people are to start manufacturing it now, it'll take quite a while before doses will become available. The second is that they're very expensive. They sell for between $100 to $200 a dose. And you need to give everybody two doses. So that's a very expensive vaccine.
The Mpox ailment, formerly known as monkeypox, due to its original discovery in monkeys in Denmark, was first discovered in humans in 1970 in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which has become the epicenter of the current outbreak. Karim says Mpox, which previously did not pose serious health concerns, has been mutating and the current strain is worrying, especially for Africa's younger population, which is more susceptible.
If left unchecked, we will see Mpox spread quite rapidly. And the reason it'll spread rapidly is because it's now sexually transmitted. And we've seen from other sexually transmitted infections like HIV and so on, sexually transmitted infections can spread quite widely in Africa.
Since July, Mpox cases have been detected in Burundi, Kenya, Rwanda, and Uganda, as well as the DRC. Kenya has recorded two cases and hopes to receive vaccine doses as part of the international effort to stop transmission of the disease. Kenya's Ministry of Health officials, however, say they are worried about the global vaccine shortage. Dr. Patrick Amoth is the Director General for Health.
Africa requires 10 million doses. What could be available up to the end of the year is 2 million doses. If Bavarian Nordic, the manufacturer of the vaccine, repurposes its manufacturing capacity, to stop manufacturing or scale down on manufacture of the other vaccines and prioritize manufacture of mpox vaccine. So in terms of priority, of course, it will be pegged on the number of cases that each and every county gets. So for now, we cannot even be able to start talking about vaccination if you have only recorded 2 cases of the disease.
Amoth says there is no cause for alarm, as the country has put in place measures to deal with the outbreak of the disease.
We have heightened our coordination through the operationalization of the Public Health Emergency Operations Center. We have formed rapid response teams to be able to support counties in terms of contact tracing and other logistics required, including case management.
Karim says wealthy countries could be hoarding the available vaccines in a bid to preserve them for their citizens. Karim says he is challenging African countries to move towards developing their own vaccines locally.
But I'm pretty convinced that if, you know, African scientists put their heads together, we could make an mpox vaccine and we can manufacture it right here in Africa. It's not rocket science. It just needs, you know, the investments to be made to do that.
As the wait for vaccines continues, health experts say testing, contact tracing, and public education are the best strategy in dealing with the outbreak in Africa, at least for now. Juma Majanga, VOA News, Nairobi.
Nigeria has received its first shipment of mpox vaccines donated by the United States to combat the ongoing outbreak of the disease. This comes amid a sharp rise in cases across Africa, with the Democratic Republic of Congo and East African nations reporting the majority of infections. Gibson Emeka reports from Abuja.
Nigeria has received 10,000 junior vaccine doses from the United Agency for International Development in Abuja. The first batch aimed to strengthen the nation's fight against mpox. Nigeria has already seen more than 40 confirmed and 800 suspected cases in 13 of its states. The delivery followed the World Health Organization's recent declaration of mpox, formerly known as monkeypox, as a global health threat. U.S. Ambassador Richard Milo says Nigeria is well prepared to use the vaccine.
And as I mentioned, Nigeria government has put together a vaccination plan. So there's a plan how to use these vaccines effectively, how to make sure we get the most effect out of this 10,000 vaccine donation. So that's very much why Nigeria was chosen to receive this first batch.
Mpox, a rare zoonotic ailment transmitted from animal to human, has spread across African countries in recent months. As of Monday, the African Center for Disease Control and Prevention reported 22,863 mpox cases, with 3,641 confirmed and 19,222 suspected. More than 620 deaths were reported across 13 AU member states. Nigeria Primary Healthcare Director Muyi Aina says the health authority will prioritize states with the most cases for the vaccine rollout.
We are also going to prioritize states that have had the highest number of cases. Many of them are in the south, but of course we're going to have to work with the states to develop state-specific plans, you know, to make sure that the vaccine is appropriately deployed.
Inoculation should begin soon, although vaccine hesitancy among the public remains a challenge. WHO Nigeria representative Walter Mulambo discussed this issue.
It's been used for smallpox, but they've shown some efficacy with the mpox. And we believe we should be informed by our science and not amplify misinformation.
As mpox spread across Central and West Africa, international partners are increasing support. Germany is looking to donate 100,000 vaccine doses to East Africa, where the outbreak has hit Burundi and Kenya hardest. Nigeria aims to secure more vaccine despite shortage and delivery delay. Gibson Emeka in Abuja, VOA News.
That's all for this edition of Health Chat. Thank you all for joining us, and thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Lino Hamudu, in Washington, with producer Mukwilia Barrow. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and strive to make every day a healthy day.